Well, we finally made it. We finally reached the end of the green season. It felt like it was never going to end, right? It seems like if you look back to Easter, I don't know about you, but when I look back to Easter, it seems like Easter was like a million years ago. I mean, this has been a long year. And Advent, of course, is just around the corner. Next Sunday, if you can believe it. Everybody's got their Christmas decorations up, so you know, it's that time of year. And we're here today at what must be the ultimate moment in the church here, right? And in a very literal sense, the ultimate, the final moment, the final feast. And as always, the church year ends with this somewhat, I think, underrated feast day that is known as Christ the King. Or at least it's formerly known as Christ the King in a lot of places. Nowadays, it's more commonly known as the Reign of Christ Sunday, right? And there's a few different reasons for that change. One is the shift away in general in the church from strongly gendered and perhaps patriarchal language for God. And you don't get much more patriarchal than a king, right? I mean, literally the patriarch. But there's also been a shift in recent years away from not just gendered language, but even, I would say, monarchical sort of language or images in the church in general. So you may have been to churches where even the word Lord is being phased out. So you might hear, instead of the Lord be with you, you might hear, God be with you, or something to that effect. Now, personally, I'm kind of ambivalent about this. I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other. I can see the pros and cons of either side of the argument. On the one hand, as a red-blooded patriotic American, I don't have much use for kings, right? My view of the monarchy is probably best typified by good old King George in Hamilton, right? He's the silly character singing, "You'll be back." Even as this ragtag army of revolutionaries is getting ready to defeat his much larger forces, right? And at the same time, perhaps for similar reasons, I have to wonder if getting rid of the image of Jesus as king dilutes the intended purpose of that image. Because the original purpose of that image of Jesus as the king was not to portray Jesus as some sort of powerful monarch, I don't think. It was actually meant to be almost ironic, almost paradoxical. Because to say Christ is king is to flip that very concept of monarchy, of even power in general, completely on its head. And it makes sense if you think about what kind of king is Jesus portrayed as. Now, there's a lot of different pictures in Scripture, but our readings from today give us a pretty clear picture in a very vivid way. And there's two passages today that kind of run in parallel. We've got the reading from the Hebrew Scriptures from Ezekiel, and then we've got the Gospel reading from Matthew, and they're both kind of similar, right? They're both stories of God as the king, as the judge. And of course, in the Matthew story, we have Jesus taking that role as the Son of Man, who is the king sitting on the throne judging the nations. Interestingly, in both stories, the image of the king is also tied to this idea of a shepherd. And it's a shepherd who's separating animals from one another. In Ezekiel, you've got the fat sheep and the lean sheep. And the fat ones, of course, are the ones who push their way to the front of the food trough and push all the other little sheep out of the way. And then in Matthew, of course, you have that famous image of the sheep and the goats. And in either case, it's a picture of kingship as being a role of judging, a role of sitting in a judgment seat. And the pictures of just what kind of judge this shepherd king are actually very similar, right? You see, unlike an earthly king or monarch who probably would reward the successful, the powerful, the wealthy, the clever, this king that we hear about in Scripture chooses justice for the weak and for the oppressed. The fat sheep aren't the ones that get picked first. They're the ones that get shamed because they're excluding everybody else. And for Jesus, the goats are the ones who failed to care for the least of these, the people that they encountered in their daily lives. It's kind of a shocking reversal of what we might consider common sense. And I do want to point out that the passage that we heard from Matthew is actually the one and only reference in the entire New Testament to the Last Judgment, to Judgment Day. It's the only place in the New Testament where it's talked about. So we might want to pay attention to it. It's kind of important. That's pretty serious, right? And it should give us pause. And I think it's meant to hit like that, to kind of make us think, Because Jesus, in effect, is kind of throwing the gauntlet down here, and he's drawing a line in the sand. And that's something that maybe we're not accustomed to with Jesus so much. We think of Jesus as being loving and inclusive, but in this passage, he's being very clear about who's in and who's out. He's making a clear statement of what it means to be in the kingdom, in the reign of God. And it's nothing like being a subject of any other sort of king. And so maybe the reason I think that we have this festival, this feast of Christ the King or the reign of Christ, at the very end of this long green season of the church, is that it's the answer. It's the answer to the question that we've been kind of wrestling with ever since Pentecost. What exactly does it mean to be called as the church? To be called and gathered as the people of God? It takes us a whole long season to figure that out because it's not easy, right? It's like the journey of our own lives. Sometimes it takes us our entire lives to come into a sense of who we're truly called to be. But today, on this Sunday, the message is given to us as clear as day. Not all messages are like that, right? You know, in the coming days, many of us will watch the classic Christmas season movie, A Christmas Story, for the 100,000th time, right? And we'll watch as little Ralphie struggles and he struggles to get that decoder ring, right? He's trying to figure out this secret message from little orphan Annie on the Ovaltine can, and he has to get this decoder ring, and he goes through this big long process to get this message. And then we'll shrug with him as he reads that message. Anybody remember what the message was? What was it? That's right. Drink your Ovaltine. Really important stuff, right? But this message that we get today, it's not like that. It's not a letdown. It's a challenge. And it's an incredible challenge. To follow Jesus into his kingdom has nothing to do with religious practice. It has everything to do with the way that we love the least of these that are right outside of our door, the people that we encounter every single day in our lives. And then our most amazing statement in our readings today about Christ's kingship comes from our reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Because here Paul has something to say about power and authority. And he makes this crazy, audacious claim. He says that even at this present moment, God has put all rulers, all authorities, all powers, all dominions under the feet of Christ. That doesn't mean something that's going to happen later on. He is saying this is something that has already happened. And even more amazing than that, Paul goes on to say that God has done this for the sake of the church, his body, the fullness of him that fills all. I'm going to grab some water real quick. I probably should have brought it up with me. Got to come prepared. So think about that for a second. The fullness of him that fills all is within us. So think about that for a second. The fullness of him that fills all is within us. That power over all the rulers and authorities and powers and dominions that Paul is talking about, it's within us. Right here and right now. Within the body of Christ gathered together. So what does that mean for us? It means that we don't have any excuses. It means that now is the time to get out and start living that way of love. We don't need to wait until we have society or culture or political power on our side. In fact, it means we don't need to be seeking any of those things. It doesn't mean we're indifferent to the political process. It doesn't mean we don't try to engage in it. But it means that we don't have to be the ones taking control of everything. I'd even go so far as to say it means that we can live in a society where we might have no power at all. We might be totally oppressed, opposed, and rejected. It doesn't matter. Paul is saying the victory has already been won. And the last word is God's word, no matter what. So it's time to get busy living according to that victory. Jesus says the time is now, not just at the end of time, but right here in the present. He says, now, inherit the kingdom. Recognize that your ultimate loyalty is not to any king or any ruler or any president, but to the one who's already put all power under his feet and has empowered us to go and do those works of mercy, to go to the poor and the needy and the sick and the rejected and the forgotten and to show God's hospitality. And he's empowered us to be able to give of ourselves, to be able to give of our talent, our time, our treasure, because we know that this king that's providing for us provides for all of our needs, and we don't need to hold on to things tightly out of fear of not having enough. And so this is the grand ending. This is the big climax. This is the big message at the end of the year as we go into now a new year. The cycle begins again. And we take that message with us into our lives as we go forth into Advent. May the one who fills all things fill us with an assurance of that mighty power and empower us to go forth into the world to do those works that he has called us to do. I pray this with you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.